الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل متاع الدنيا قليل، سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. We have been speaking about different things which enable a person to attain the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, there are some things which are an obstacle on this path, and we're supposed to remove those obstacles and then we can make ourselves the beloved of Allah. One of the main obstacles or thing which prevents us from getting this love and muhabbat of Allah is dunya. Normally we speak about shaitan and our nafs, and those are no doubt our enemies and they prevent us from coming close to Allah. But two other things that keep us away from Allah's Father is dunya and makhluk. This dunya, the world and creation. And how do they keep us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The way that dunya and makhluk keeps us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they make us forget how to spend this journey called life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this world, and all of us, we have this relationship with the dunya, right? So most of our modern society, it's based upon the dunya. And what exactly, how does this dunya prevent us from this path? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in several ayat of the Quran that this dunya, they keep us away from Allah by number one, making us forget how to spend that journey, and number two, by deluding us about the end of this journey. So when you start thinking that the purpose of life, any person, when you start thinking that the purpose of life is not to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we start thinking that the purpose of life is to get something in the dunya, whether it is money, whether it is status, whether it is prominence, whether it is the bank balance that we have, when that becomes the purpose of life, whether it's distinction, right, then a person, we forget that adab of the journey. We forget about the end of this journey, and then we also forget about how we're supposed to spend this journey called life. And when we forget these two things, we forget the end, we forget that the purpose of life is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you forget that purpose, that my purpose is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then other things will come up and they will take our passion. So some people, they become overly passionate about their job. Some people become overly passionate about their career. Some people become overly passionate about their, you know, about different things, right? Overly passionate about their family. In fact, in Quran, that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that your spouse and your children are also a test for you. In what sense? And otherwise, our spouse and children are a blessing for you. They're a bounty for you. You're supposed to get sukoon, itminan from them. Litaskunu ilayha. But there is a slight chance that you may forget about the end. The end, which is the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you might become overly passionate about them. So someone will say that, I might take a bribery for the sake of my spouse and children. Or I may end up disobeying Allah's father in so many ways for the sake of my wife or my children. So that means what they've done is that they've exceeded. Number one, they exceeded. And number two, they became overly passionate. Overly passionate about. And then they number three, they forgot the end. So there are three things here, right? That a person, they exceeded the bounds and they trespassed and did transgressions of Allah's father because of that excess. They became overly passionate, and as a result they forgot the end. The end was to please Allah's father, to meet Allah's father in a way that Allah is pleased with us. So the dunya, it distracts us. It distracts us from Allah's Fatiha. Shaitan and our own nafs, they don't distract us from Allah's Fatiha. Let me explain to you what we have learned in several years by keeping company of our teachers. Shaitan and nafs, they don't distract us from Allah's Fatiha. Dunya and makhluk creation, they distract us from Allah's Fatiha. And watch the difference. Nafs and shaitan, they will involve you in sin, but you will still feel that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. The nafs and shaitan will involve you in sin, but even though you did that sin, you don't want to lose your certainty in Allah. You don't want to lose that yaqeen in Allah. Shaitan might put a waswasa in your heart, some whispering. You will still love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despite that whispering and despite that shaitan. So shaitan and nafs, they don't diminish your good side, but they can increase your bad side. But dunya and the makhluk, what they do is that they diminish our good side. They disconnect us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we are lost in the dunya. Now here a question which is very important for us to understand, that what is dunya? When we say that we need to not be overly attached with dunya, what exactly is dunya? Now, anything can be dunya. Dunya is not just the name of money in Islam. You can be extremely wealthy and have zero dunya. And you can be very poor and be completely lost in the dunya. So now it's just that dunya can be anything that is ghairullah. Anything that distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For some people, their studies might be dunya. For some people, teaching is their dunya. Anything can be dunya. Anything that distracts you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is dunya. That's the definition of dunya in Islam. Anything that keeps us away from Allah, that negatively impacts our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what dunya is. And that is why when a person, if you look in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran a particular dua that Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azaban nar. This is a beautiful dua where Allah says that it's a dua that, O our Rabb, O our Lord, give us atina fid dunya hasana. Give us in this dunya that which is hasan, that which is good, the pure, the wholesome. So this is a misunderstanding that sometimes people have, that Quran is telling us that ask Allah for dunya, dunya akhirat, dono mango. So where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to make dua for dunya, there is a word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adding, hasanat. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. That Allah, it's not Rabbana atina dunya, that Allah give me dunya. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that Allah grant us hasanat in the dunya. Hasanat, because what are hasanat of the dunya? Hasanat, the noble things, the pure things. These are things which will not distract us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are things which will not make us forget the journey of life. They will not make us forget the end. They will not make us excessively overly passionate that we end up committing transgressions. Hasanat is not dunya. So these were the early Muslims, the Salaf Salihin. They would ask Allah for the hasanat of the dunya. Because with the hasanat of the dunya, then you can continue with the work of deen and you can also focus on akhirah. Because the hasanat of the dunya, they're not contrary to akhirah. They aid a person in that journey towards Allah. They better a person's akhirah. They improve a person's akhirah. And hence we should make dua for the hasanat of the dunya. So the early Muslims, they took the noble, the virtuous, the pure things of this world. They took those things from this world that would not distract them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with that, they were firm on their deen. And they were also thinking about their akhirah. So when a person has this attitude towards the dunya, right, they should only take the hasanat of the dunya. And what we're supposed to renounce, and this is the word zuhud. Zuhud means that a person renounces those things about the dunya which make a person ghafil, which make a person heedless. Anyone is unattached to the world. That's what zuhud is, to be unattached to the attractions of the dunya. To be unattached to the attractions of the dunya. And the least level of zuhud is to leave those things, right, which are impermissible, which are unlawful, and confine ourselves within the halal. And then the highest level of zuhud is to only take from the dunya those things which are the hasanat, those things which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this hadith, the Prophet is teaching us. This one sahabi, he came to the Prophet and asked this question, that, oh, Ya Rasulullah, guide me to such an amal, that if I do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love me. And the Prophet said that have zuhud fi dunya, have zuhud for this world. What does zuhud mean? That be unattached to this world. To be unattached at the level of your heart. It doesn't mean that you don't have it in your hands. Zuhud has to do with the feeling of the heart. That a person can have money and wealth in their hands. You can have wealth and money and blessings in your pocket. You can have wealth and money and blessings outside of you, but you don't have that love in your heart. Your heart is unattached. Your heart is unattached, and you don't even have that azmat of the dunya in your heart. So two things we're supposed to protect our heart. We're supposed to protect our heart from this love and from this azmat, from this esteeming the dunya. And having this excessive love for the world. Why? Because this heart is a place which is reserved for the muhabbat of Allah. It's the locus, the place, the abode of Allah's muhabbat. And Allah wishes that in this heart there should be only this one muhabbat, which is the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those muhabbat which are in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah. You can have dunya in your hands, in your pocket, in your wallet, in your account, but not in your heart. The heart should be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what this word zuhud is. And those people who have zuhud, then it's very easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love that person. And then in a famous hadith, the Prophet explained this further, that on the contrary, if a person has love for the world, then that not only prevents a person from this muhabbat of Allah, but in fact, this love for dunya is the root, the essence of all sins. And if you look at the dunya, hubbu dunya ra'su kulli khatiyatin, that the hub, the muhabbat. If you look at this, if you look at all the bad things that go in this world, all the evil that exists, all the negativity, it actually boils down to this love for the world. People kill one another, people are greedy, they're unjust to one another. The root cause is this excessive love for the world, excessive attachment to the world. Hubbi dunya. And on the other hand, if a person takes away this dunya, then you get hubbullah. You get the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart has to be reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Right? The heart has to be reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's muhabbat, for the love that is in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah. The heart has to be reserved for the remembrance of Allah. The things of this world are meant to be in our hands, not in our heart. Now what happens is that sometimes you have this, what you call hirs, this excessive desire, and that becomes a problem in the heart. That's a disease of the heart, that wanting things of the dunya, and then that is what makes a person have this excessive attachment to the dunya. And if you look in different ahadith of Mubarakah, the hadith that teaches that we are supposed to live in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you have to live in this dunya, right? You can't live in a cave or a jungle, right? We have to live here. We have to interact with other people. We have to be part of this world. But at the same time, we can't let this dunya affect us and take over our heart. Maulana Rum Rahmatullah Alayhi, he gave a very beautiful example to explain what Zuhud is. He said that imagine that there is a person who is traveling on a ship and he has to cross the ocean. As long as there is water underneath the ship, then that water will help a person to travel across the ocean. But imagine if there is a hole in the ship and water starts coming inside. Then that person will not be able to travel. The ship will turn, will sink. In the same way, this dunya, if it's outside of our heart, then this dunya will be conducive for a person to journey towards akhirah, to journey towards Allah's path. But if you have wealth, it can be used in a beneficial way. Person can spend that wealth in a way that is pleasing to Allah's path. So it's conducive if it's outside the heart. But the moment this love for the wealth comes inside of our heart, then the boat, the ship of our heart will capsize, will sink. So that's a very beautiful way to understand what the relationship is we're supposed to have with the dunya. And we cannot let this, we are supposed to live in the dunya, but we cannot allow this dunya to affect our heart. Now then the question comes that how can a person reduce this dunya to be, how can we, if someone thinks that I'm so overly attached to the dunya, I don't have this zuhud, this quality of zuhud, that how can I reduce my attachment with the dunya? How can I detach myself? What's some of the remedies that I can use to cure myself of this disease? So one is that a person should reflect on the reality of this world, this dunya. That dunya is a place of deception. This dunya is temporary. And whatever we get of this dunya is just going to help us in our life here. When we go to our graves, when a person goes, first of all, we go alone. Our parents will not go with us. No one, none of our relatives, our spouse, our children, they're not going to go with us. No one is going to answer for us. So if someone says, why did you do this? We can't say that I did this for my parents, for my spouse, for my children. They're not there with you in the grave. All of us will have to account for our own deeds individually. And secondly, we're not going to have our wealth with us. Money won't go with us. Our prestige and prominence and reputation will also not go with us. The only thing that will help is what work we did for Akhirah, the good deeds, that hasanat of the dunya that we did. That is what's going to help us. And this shows that when a person thinks about Akhirah and they think about the fleeting nature of this dunya, that's one way which is going to benefit a person in detaching their heart, right, from this world. The second remedy which the Prophet ﷺ taught us is to remember our Akhirah a bit more, to remember death in particular, which is something I think we have talked about in another session. In Hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that he remembered death abundantly. And kasrat, the word kasrat. Kasrat, the zikr is mentioned in the Quran. And this also, remember Allah abundantly and remember your death also. Why? Because this is something, you know, we can do. And the scholars have mentioned that our grave remembers us about 100 times every day. 100 times a day. Our grave remembers us, and we should think that how much do we remember our grave? So remembering death, and you know, people sometimes even the mention of death, it makes a person have, you know, we dislike any mention of death, and people say that let's not talk about this, and let's talk about something else. And like, who wants to talk about death, right? People flee from such discussions, and this is something which needs to be spoken about, because remembering death, our grave remembers us. And the more a person remembers their death, in a hadith the Prophet said that this will break our desires, our attachment with the dunya. It's the breaker of desire, it's the breaker of hirs, it's the breaker of this excessive attachment to the dunya. And it's the more you remember death, the thing is that our heart is not a vacuum, that you take something out, you have to put something in. So when you take out this love for the dunya, this attachment with the dunya, automatically you will be given love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the sort of polar opposites of each other. You take out the remembrance of the dunya, Allah will give you the remembrance of Himself. So this is second. And the third remedy to break this attachment with the dunya is to work on those matters that will help us after death. Things that will help us after death. One time there was this young person who came to a pious elder, and he asked him that, "I'm really scared of dying. What should I do?" So that scholar said that you should give more sadaqah, charity in the path of Allah. And he started doing that. And then sometime later he came back and he said that, "I did this, and now I'm not scared of dying. In fact, I'm interested in it. I'm almost like looking forward to dying." And this was a big change in his nature, big change in his desire. And he said, "I don't understand why this happened to me." So that Sheikh explained to him that, "Look, first you were working in this dunya, and all your efforts were for this dunya. So that's why naturally your heart was attached to this world. Wherever you invest, right? That's where the heart is. But then when you started putting your effort for the akhirah, for the hasanat of the dunya, preparing for akhirah, now your heart naturally is going to be more attached to the akhirah. So now death will not be a scary thing for you. Death will not be a dangerous thing to you." And that's what happened to that person. So we need to use this as well, a strategy, in order to remove that attachment of dunya from our hearts. And one more remedy that I'll mention is that whenever we feel attachment and excessive attachment, and everyone is attached to different things, when we feel excessive attachment to something, and we feel that it's making me ghafil and heedless of Allah, we should give that thing away. And this is very difficult to do, give it away. There's a very famous story about the Sahaba, three Sahaba who basically stayed behind in one of the battles when everyone is supposed to go. And one of them stayed behind. And it comes in his own hadith that, "I stayed behind because I had a lot of wealth. And I became very attached to that wealth." So when he stayed behind, and then the Prophet ﷺ found out, basically he confessed to the Prophet ﷺ. It's a very long hadith. No one was allowed to talk to that Sahabi for 50 days. And then finally, at the end, when Allah Ta'ala accepted his tawbah, he said that, "As part of my tawbah, I want to give away that wealth, which distracted me from Allah's father in the first case. And this wealth was the reason I was ghafil, I was heedless of Allah. So now I want to give it away." So when we feel that something makes me heedless of Allah, some love, some attachment, some excessive attachment, some dunya, that I'm not able to attain this love of Allah, this pure love of Allah, that means that we have to spend that which you love for the sake of Allah. And that will be a way through which we can get this muhabbat of Allah in our hearts. There is a maza in spending for the sake of Allah as well. And this is what you call muhabbat, that Allah will fill your heart with His own muhabbat when you part with something for His sake. I want to end with a few stories, a true story, that how people use this, the blessings of this world, for the preparation for Akhirah. So things which are the hasanat of the dunya, at-du'a Rabbana atina fit dunya hasana. So the first story is about a woman by the name of Zubaydah Khatun. She was a very pious woman. She was the wife of the Khalifa of that time by the name of Harun Rashid. And Zubaydah Khatun, she was such a pious woman that she had hired several hundred hafizat who were hafiza of the Quran, and she made these three 8-hour shifts. And the purpose of this 3-shift workforce was to recite the Quran in every single corner of the royal palace, because she wanted that anytime she walks anywhere in the palace, should be able to hear the Quran. So the entire royal court, with all of the attendants, all of the staff, used to live in every single place. She had a hafiza, so there was not a single place where you could walk except that you could hear the Quran. So now, you know, whatever money she must have had to be able to hire those people, was that money dunya? No, it wasn't dunya. This was the love for the Quran that she had. She used that as a way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she had so much love for the creation of Allah that between her place in Iraq and Makkah Mukarramah, people used to travel for Hajj, and there was this difficult part of the journey where they had no access to water. So she learned about this, and then she told her husband that, "I want to divert part of the water of this river that was flowing nearby, and I want to make a canal so that the Hujjaj, they're traveling through that area, they can have access to that water. They can drink for themselves, and they can have water for their camels to drink as well." This was a massive project by even modern, you know, engineering standards as well, to divert water, to divert water from a river and make a canal out of it. She did that, right? None of that was dunya, they did it. And then in that time, there was this very big shaykh, a wali of Allah by the name of Bahlul Rahmatullah. And Bahlul Rahmatullah, he was known for two things. Number one, for being a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah. And number two, for seeming to be a bit crazy. And to put it very simply for you in English, Behlul was known for two things, right? Number one, a wali of Allah. And number two, apparently a bit, seeming a bit crazy, right? But looks can be deceiving. So khair, one day Harun Rashid and Zubaydah Khatun, they were walking, went for a walk. And they saw on the beach, Behlul was there. And Behlul was making these sand castles. And he was calling out that whoever buys this sand castle for 1 dinar, I'll make dua that Allah Ta'ala give them a house in Jannah, a mansion, a palace in Jannah. Whoever buys my palace in sand for 1 dinar, I'll make dua that Allah grant them a palace in Jannah. So Harun Rashid, he walked by, he laughed at him. He said, "Behlul, what are you doing making these sand castles?" He walked on. Zubaydah Khatun, she stopped. She took out 1 dinar and she said, "Behlul, I'll buy your castle and make dua that Allah Ta'ala grants, gives me a palace in Jannah." So Behlul took that dinar and made dua. So that night, Harun Rashid, when he went to sleep, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw this huge palace in Jannah, which was made up of marble and all these incredible things. And on top of that palace, it said Zubaydah, his wife's name, right? So he went and he showed up. And there was a guard standing there at the door and said that, "You can't enter this palace. No admission without permission." And he said, "No, I'm her husband, right? I allow me to entry." The guard said, "No, no, no. Only that person can enter for whom this palace then has been made. The rules in Jannat are different than they were in the dunya. So here, Harun Rashid, he woke up and he thought that, okay, you know, I better make some time today and go visit that Behlul and buy one of those sand castles. So again, they went for a walk and again, they found Behlul on the beach. And again, Behlul was making these sand castles and saying the same thing, that whoever buys this sand castle from me, I'll make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant them a palace in Jannah. So Harun Rashid, he takes out one dinar and he's about to give it to Behlul. But Behlul replies and says that, Harun Rashid, it's no longer going to cost you one dinar. It's going to cost the kingdom of the entire earth. The entire earth. Harun Rashid, right? It was just a kingdom of the Muslim empire. So Harun Rashid asked him, Behlul, that yesterday you were willing to sell this for one dinar. And now you're asking for the entire kingdom. So Behlul said, I'm going to say this in Urdu, ke kal bin dekhe sauda tha, aaj dekh kar aap aaye. Kal bin dekhe sauda tha. You saw, yesterday you hadn't seen this, now you saw it. And exactly this is what Iman is as well. That you haven't seen Allah's Father, you will see Allah on that day. You haven't witnessed the Jalal, the Azmat of Allah, we'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's azmat on that day. We haven't seen the rahmat, the beauty, the mercy of Allah. We'll see that on that day. So this dunya is a test. That's what the Prophet said. This is an illusion, a test. The test is that if we can do the trivial amal, the small amal, right, that Allah wants us to do for these trivial 80 years of life, in return for this amal, the actions that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to offer this endless bliss in akhirah, or take us into Jannah. So this is what dunya is. This is a test. And the way this dunya distracts us from this akhirah, from this goal, from this mission. And you know, every day, sort of, we see this, right, that how dunya is distracting us. We are growing old. Students are also, every day, every year is passing by. And we see the distractions are increasing for all of us. But we have to start making use of our time. That's what Ramadan came for. Ramadan is not simply the month of fasting. Ramadan is not the month of Eid. Ramadan is the month where we can disconnect with the dunya. We can detach ourselves with the dunya and we can connect ourselves with Allah. We can attach ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We disconnect, then we connect with Allah, and then we can reconnect with the dunya in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah. It's a three-step process. That you detach yourself from the dunya, which is just for our own nafs, for our own sake. That part we need to detach. Then attach ourselves completely and fully to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah, we reattach ourselves with the muhabbat of Allah in our heart, with that remembrance of Allah in our heart. That is why this month is here. Ramadan is the month to reconnect with Allah, to fall in love with Allah. It's the month in which we can try that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fall in love with us. That's Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of Rahman. It's the month. And I'll mention one last thing. That if we can spend even just one month like that, if we can spend even a few days like that, then you will taste the sweetness of this path of deen. And then you will forget all the pleasures of this world. You will forget all the distractions of this world. Even in this dunya, when you're addicted to something, the way they get you off from that addiction is to hook you onto something, a greater addiction, right? In America, when someone would say that they want to quit smoking, they would ask him that, what do you like? He'll say, chewing gum. He'd say, okay, now anytime you want to smoke, you start chewing gum. Because they will replace one lazat with the other lazat. So if we have led a life in which we forgot the commandments of Allah, we were distracted by the dunya, we allowed ourselves to be distracted by this dunya, by the pleasures of the dunya, then only one thing can take us out of that. One thing. Only one thing can take us out. There's nothing else. If we want to be out, right? There is only one thing that can take us out, and that is if we taste the lazzat of being the servant of Allah subhanahu. Once we taste the pleasure of ibadah, the lazzat of ibadah, once we taste the pleasure of the remembrance of Allah, once we taste the pleasure of the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, once we taste the pleasure of the obedience to Allah, only when we taste and experience the sweetness of the life of deen, of being the servant of Allah, then we will feel no need for the sweetnesses of this world, the sweetnesses that this world has to offer. There's only one way that can take us out. Nothing else will take us out. Even the regret and the shame, the nadamah that we have, we will get that forgiveness, but it won't be enough to take us out. Because the pleasures of the dunya will again pull, will try to take us in. We'll go right back to it in a matter of time. The month will end, Ramadan will end, we'll go straight back to those pleasures. So if we want this Ramadan to be an exit, if we want this Ramadan to be a change, that change is only by tasting and experiencing the sweetness of the deen, the sweetness of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once that enters our heart, it's beyond description. It's beyond description. Imagine, right? Anything can be happening in the world around you. You're living, right, in testing times these days all over, right? But anything can be happening in the world around you, inside your heart, ab mazin, maza. And that maza, which koi chheen bhi nahi sakta. No one can snatch that maza away from you. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us his muhabbat. And this is ajeeb, that when a person turns away from dunya, Allah will give the dunya to you. One of our teachers, he explained this with a very, very beautiful analogy. He said that the world is like a shadow. The world that you're running after is like running after your own shadow. You can run and run and run, and you will never be able to catch your shadow. But the minute you turned around and you said, forget it, I can't catch you, and you start walking in the opposite direction, what happens? The shadow will start following you. The shadow, khud piche piche aa rahi hogi. So this is our relationship with the dunya. When we ignore it, when we detach ourselves from it, when we show that this dunya is hakir, it's trivial, it's insignificant, it's not even the width of a mosquito's wing in the sight of Allah, I'm not going to attach myself to it. Then, number one, we will get the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will fill our pockets. Allah ta'ala khud pesh karenge duniya ko, that take this, you are running away, I will gift it to you. So this is something that the more we show this istighna of the dunya, the more we turn our face, our tawajjuh, our heart away from dunya and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the Zaat of Allah, that Allah ta'ala ye dunya hakir hai. Aapne khud kaha this is hakir. Allah, we are turning our heart to you. Then Allah ta'ala will khud give this dunya to make us happy, to make our life in this world enjoyable. So may Allah ta'ala grant all of us the ability to have His love, and to decrease this love for the dunya that we have in our hearts, and have the ability to control this love for the dunya that we have in our hearts, to the ability to tame this beast in our heart. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we can use this month of Ramadan to taste the pleasure of being the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to taste the pleasure of the sweetness of the life of deen. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin. فنعمل لك دعاء. سبحان ربي العلي الوهاب، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا الله يا ربي كريم، اللهم مري مالك مري خالك مري رازق. ربي كريم، ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. يا ربي كريم، ظاہر میں آپ کے بندے ہیں، حقیقت میں بہت گندے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے دل کی گندگی کو دور فرما، اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو منور فرما، ہمارے دلوں کو اپنی محبت اپنی معرفت سے منور فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، ایک عرصہ گزر گیا، اللہ اپنی محبت عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ اپنے عرصے سے نمازیں پڑھ رہے ہیں، اللہ میں نماز کی لذت عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ قرآن کی تلاوت کا مزہ عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ ذکر کی لذت اور حلاوت عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ سجدے کا سرور عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ دعا کی لذت عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ رات میں آخری قیام کی لذت عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، اس سے پہلے یا اللہ ہماری آنکھیں بند ہو جائیں، اللہ ہمارے من کی آنکھیں کھلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اللہ اس سے پہلے کہ لوگ ہمیں کفن دیں، ہمیں تقویٰ کے لباس پہننے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اللہ اس سے پہلے اللہ آپ کے سامنے حاضری ہو، اللہ ہمیں اپنی بارگاہ میں قبولیت عطا فرما. یا رب کریم، اس سے پہلے کہ ہماری نماز جنازہ پڑھی جائے، اللہ ہمیں نماز کی حضوری نصیب فرما. اللہ سجدے کا سرور عطا فرما. یا رب کریم، اپنی محبت ہمارے سینوں کے اندر پیدا فرما. یا رب کریم، آپ نے قرآن میں فرمایا فإنی قریب، اللہ ہمیں اپنے قرب کا استحضار عطا فرما. اللہ ہمارا دل سویا ہوا ہے، مویا ہوا ہے، اللہ آپ بہت قریب ہیں لیکن ہم اللہ سو رہے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو جگا دیجئے، ہمارے دلوں کو زندہ کر دیجئے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، ہمیں اپنے استحضار عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہمیں اپنا قرب عطا فرما دیجئے، ہم اپنے قرب کے احساس عطا فرما دیجئے، ہمیں اپنی میت کے استحضار عطا فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، ہم آپ کا بننا چاہتے ہیں، آپ کا بن کر جینا چاہتے ہیں. اللہ ہمیں اپنوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے، اپنے چاہنے والوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے. اللہ غیر کی چاہت دل سے نکال دیجئے، اللہ غیر کی چاہتیں دل سے نکال دیجئے، اللہ غیر کی محبتیں دل سے نکال دیجئے، اللہ دنیا کی محبت دل سے نکال دیجئے، مخلوق کی محبت دل سے نکال دیجئے. اللہ نفس و شیطان سے پیچھا جان چھڑا دیجئے. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اندر اللہ اپنی محبت کو بھر دیجئے. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اپنے ذکر کو بھر دیجئے. اللہ اپنے ذکر کو ہمارے دلوں میں سما دیجئے. اللہ ذکر کو ہمارے دلوں میں چھا دیجئے. یا رب کریم، رحمتوں کے ساتھ اللہ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما، اپنی محبت کی شدت عطا فرما، محبت میں رسوخ عطا فرما. اللہ ایسا بنا دیجئے کہ اللہ آپ کو بولنا چاہیں گے تو بول نہ سکے، آپ کو بلانا چاہیں گے تو بلا نہ سکے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. اللہ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو پورے امت کے حق میں قبول فرما. اللہ امت پریشان ہے، اللہ امت کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما. اللہ آپ کے پیارے محبوب نبی علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے سامنے ایک دفعہ غنیزہ کی عورت اچانک ننگے سر آ گئی تھی، آپ علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام نے اپنی چادر سے اس کا سر ڈھانپ لیا تھا. یا رب کریم، آج آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امت پوری دنیا کے اندر اللہ ننگے سر کھڑی ہے. یا رب کریم، امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے. یا رب کریم، امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے. اللہ امت کا سر ڈھانپ لیجئے. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، اللہ جن کے پاس ایمان کی نعمت نہیں، اللہ اس مہینے میں ان کو ایمان کی طرف ہدایت عطا فرما. اللہ یہ ہدایت کا مہینہ ہے، اللہ ہدایت کو عام فرما، تام فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، ہمیں ہدایت کے اندر آگے بڑھنے کی توفیق عطا فرما. اللہ ہمارے اپنی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. اللہ ہمارے گھر والوں کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. اللہ ہمارے رشتہ داروں کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم، یا اللہ، ہمارے قریبی لوگوں کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. اللہ فتنے کا دور ہے، اللہ فتنہ زیادہ ہوتا ہے، اللہ تو مدد بھی زیادہ چاہیے ہوتی ہے. یا رب کریم، اپنی رحمت عطا فرما دیجئے. اللہ ہمارے اس حال میں مدد فرما دیجئے. یا رب کریم، ہمارے نسلوں کی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. یا رب کریم، ہم نے بچے کو دیکھا ہے، کوئی قیمتی چیز ہوتی ہے تو باپ کے پاس رکھ پاتا ہے، کہتا ہے کہ ابو میں خود حفاظت نہیں کر سکتا، آپ اس کی حفاظت کر لیں. اللہ اپنی ایمان جیسی قیمتی نعمت ہمیں دی ہے، اللہ ہم اس کی خود حفاظت نہیں کر سکتے، اللہ آپ کے پاس اللہ رکھواتے ہیں. اللہ ہمارے بھی ایمان کی حفاظت فرما. अल्लाह हमारे घर वालों के भी ईमान की हिफाजत फरमा, हमारी आने वाली नस्लों के अल्लाह ईमान की हिफाजत फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, या अल्लाह अपनी रहमतों से हमारी दुआओं को कबूल फरमा। या रब्बे करीम, बच्चा परेशान हो जाता है तो माँ बाप की तरफ दौड़ता है, अल्लाह बंदा परेशान होता है तो परवरदगार की तरफ लौटता है। बेकसों के दस्तगीर, झूठे दिलों को तसल्ली देने वाले, खाली झोलियों को भर देने वाले, अल्लाह हमने भी झोलियाँ फैलाई हैं, अल्लाह हमारे उठे हाथों को कबूल फरमा लीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, दिल में जो गम है उनको दूर फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह मजलिस में कितने ऐसे लोग होंगे कि दिल के अंदर छुपे गम है जो किसी को बयान भी नहीं कर सकते, अल्लाह आप तो गमों को जानते हैं, अल्लाह हमारे उन गमों को दूर फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह अपनी रहमत शामिल हाल फरमा दीजिए, अल्लाह हमें अपनी आफियत अता फरमा दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, हमारे बिगड़े कामों को बना दीजिए, हमारे अटके कामों को हल फरमा दीजिए, हमारे बिखरे कामों को समेट दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, रहमतों के साथ अल्लाह हमारी मगफरत फरमा दीजिए, हमारे साथ मेहरबानी वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए, नरमी वाला मामला फरमा दीजिए। अल्लाह रमज़ान का महीना है, आपने तो हमें फरमाया कि अपने मातहतों पे बोझ को हल्का कर दो, अल्लाह जब हमें ये हुक्म है कि अपने मातहतों पे बोझ को हल्का कर दें, अल्लाह हम भी तो आपके मातहत हैं, अल्लाह हमारे ऊपर गुनाहों का बोझ है, अल्लाह इस गुनाहों के बोझ को हल्का कर दीजिए, अल्लाह गुनाहों के बोझ को हल्का कर दीजिए, अल्लाह गुनाहों के बोझ को हल्का कर दीजिए। या रब्बे करीम, अपनी रहमत से हमारे गुनाहों को नेकियों से बदल दीजिए। या अल्लाह जो मांगे हैं अता फरमा, अल्लाह अपनी शान करीमी के मुताबिक अता फरमा, अल्लाह जो मांगना चाहिए तो नहीं मांग सके, अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से वो भी नसीब फरमा। सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला खैर खल्की मुहम्मद वअला आलिही वसहबी अजमाईन, बिरहमतिका या अरहमुर रहीम।